The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll hear some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the word of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Kevin Stanfill.
And I am Shelby Stanfill. And this episode, we are talking about two conference talk addresses. The first one is The Lord Jesus Christ Teaches Us to Minister by Elder Juan A. Uceda of the 70. And the second talk is Jesus Christ is Relief by President Camille N. Johnson, who's the Relief Society General President. So we are in for some fun tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to this.
And as we usually do with lesser known general authorities, we wanted to take a couple moments and mention some of the highlights from Elder Uceda's biography or bio. Interesting little fact that I noticed right away was that he was sustained as a General Authority 70 on April 3rd, 2010, which was the day that I was baptized.
It feels like we always have something about the day you were baptized on this podcast. But, you know, that's exciting. What else about him?
Well, he is a native of Peru. He was born in Lima on July 10th, 1953. He was educated in Peru, receiving many distinctions in his schooling, and he was married in 1979 to his wife, and they have five children.
Awesome. I really enjoyed his talk, so let's go ahead and dive into it. So, my initial takeaways from this talk just redirected me back to a moment in my life when the Relief Society and the assignments changed from home teaching and visiting teaching to ministering. And I remember feeling this pull of like, something needs to change. Like, it's not just visiting teaching. And then that conference, I forgot when it was, but when the change happened for ministering, this talk reminded me of that, of my feelings I had about ministering. And he specifically helps us understand how Christ can help us minister and how he is the source of what we need to be doing in all things, but particularly in this talk for ministering. And so I think we could just start off by sharing a quote from the talk that he shared right in the beginning. He said, in the Greek version of the scripture, and the scripture he's referring to is the Good Shepherd and how his father knows his sheep. He says, the word for good also means beautiful, magnificent. So today I wish to speak to you of the Good Shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the magnificent shepherd, even Jesus Christ. And I thought that was something that we don't hear very often, is those words of beautiful and magnificent, and looking at it in that context of being a shepherd, right? And us being his sheep. So I thought that was a really nice way to start the talk, to kind of make us think a little bit differently than we would when we hear the word shepherd. So I liked that initially.
Well, understanding our relationship to the Savior, you know, as he is the shepherd, we are the sheep. Understanding that dynamic, or at least kind of reading into that dynamic a little bit, we understand that we are wholly dependent on him, right? We totally rely on his guidance He sustains us, right? We couldn't survive without him. And as we continually reorient ourselves to his call and follow him, we know that we will always make it back home, right? But anytime that we get it in our minds that we're going to go off the path, or, you know, we hear him calling, but we decide to do our own thing, well, that's when tragedy occurs in our lives. And we can always track that back. If we do look at it, you know, in hindsight, we always see where the Lord was calling, right? The shepherd was calling us, and we chose to do something different. We knew deep down, either deep down, that it was the wrong thing to do, or it just wasn't, it wasn't on track with what the Lord has asked us to do.
Yeah. And I like to point out that he quotes what President Nelson shared about how it is our privilege to bear his love and to add our own love to our friends and neighbors, feeding, tending, and nurturing them as the Savior would have us do. And so you're talking about those moments when you know you're doing something that you probably shouldn't be, and the Lord is reaching out to us, or maybe it's our own conscience, right? Telling us, hey, this probably isn't what you should do. But sometimes it's people coming into our path and saying, you know, they just so happen to be there, and that's not a coincidence, right? So it's just, I think about the shepherding, because he, in that quote that he references, he also shares how we are his true under shepherds,
right?
Right. The ones to go and to be the sheep to other people, and or the shepherds to others. And I think that's really powerful too in ministering, right? I mean, it's the whole reason. When I served my mission, I was in the Mexico City MTC, and we were on our way to the Mexico City Temple. And I can't remember what leader was with us, but he shared how the chandelier in the celestial room has one light bulb at the center of it. But what makes it so bright is all the other jewels around it. And we are the other jewels that are around that chandelier. And what's the light that we're shining? That light is Jesus Christ. And we can shine that through ministering, right? Like, we are his conduit to go to other people and share and invite or serve, whatever it is that we're called to do. And so I just really love that analogy of a chandelier. And he had shared this with us before we actually went into the temple, so we didn't really know what it looked like. We could assume. But then going into the celestial room was even more exciting, because I had this picture of Christ right in the center of the chandelier with all of us around him shining his light. And I think that's the true essence of ministering.
Yeah, I really love that. And, you know, to take it back to, you know, thinking on, you know, we looked at the perspective of the sheep. Well, the perspective of the under shepherds, you know, we have to know that we have this responsibility to call to others, right? To show them the way. You know, the good shepherd, right? The marvelous shepherd is further along the path, and we've oriented ourselves to him. And now, you know, we're maybe at the bend where we're the only thing that somebody further down can see, right? And so we have to call to them, otherwise they'd have no hope.
Yeah. So in this talk, he shares a story about a family when he was serving in Central America in Guatemala City. And he met a young lady named Julia, and he learns about her father. And her father went through a divorce, and he had to attend church alone. And he really felt out of place, and there were some people that were critical of him because of his divorce. And so he actually stopped attending church, and he had like a negative spirit fill his heart. So this is Julia's dad we're talking about. And Julia always spoke very wonderfully about her father. And so he has this opportunity to meet her father. And he says, quote, I just wanted to do something for that man, a man who had done so much for so many throughout the years, because this man that had gone astray and who had stopped attending church was a wonderful shepherd. He served in many callings that provided opportunities to minister. So he gets his cell phone number and he calls him because he wants the chance to meet with him. And he doesn't answer his first phone call, which is something I noted. There's many, many phone calls that happened. And finally, he says, I just wanted to meet the father of this wonderful daughter who's serving in the church. And he was praying about what to say to him. And when he says that he met him, this is what he shared. Because obviously, remember, he had been, you know, felt critical and criticized and all these things. He had very negative emotions. And so he's praying to the Savior, right? This is where the Savior helps us in ministering and says, Brother Florian, as a servant of the Lord, I apologize for our not being there for you. Please forgive us. Give us another chance to show you that we do love you, that we need you, and that you are important to us. And it says the following Sunday, he was back and he's remained active since. And that story is so powerful to me because Elder Uceda was very persistent, right, in trying to reach this brother and to get to know him because he knew that he was a wonderful shepherd before, right, or an under shepherd. And here he is reaching out to him. And with consistency and with the spirit and love, he's able to say exactly what he needed to hear. And I think that's the power of ministering. Right? How the Lord really does help us learn how to minister. Because in those moments, Elder Uceda couldn't do it by himself. He needed the Savior to know what to say to this brother. So it's just a really powerful story.
Yeah. And I think we can take away from that, you know, personally, I know what I feel is that I feel wholly unqualified to be the person to reach out, right? I feel like, what, I'm the under shepherd, like I'm not qualified to do this. You know, this is very important. You know, am I able to meet that expectation? But first and foremost, practice makes perfect, right? So getting out there and ministering regularly is key, I think. Looking for opportunities, right? And then second, knowing that at the end of the day, the Lord is on your side. He is the good shepherd that you are emulating. And as long as you emulate him, the Spirit will be with you, your mouth will be filled, and you know, things will happen that you were just a conduit, right?
Can I share just really quick? Because I feel like that ties really good over into Sister Camille and Johnson's talk. But I do want to share something before we jump over to it. I remember I was at BYU Idaho, and I forgot the reason that I felt that I needed to go do something for someone. But I did feel, I worked on the advising center at campus, and I was one of the lead shift coordinators. And so she was in my shift, and she hadn't showed up because she wasn't feeling good. And I felt like I needed to go drop off some things for her. I didn't even ask her, didn't even text her. And I just go to the store, and I'm standing in the aisle, and I have no idea what to get her because I don't know her very well besides working. I just got to know her like a week or two prior. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, Heavenly Father, I don't know what she needs, but I know that you know. And, you know, thoughts just start coming to my mind that was like Powerade. So I go over to the Powerade, and there's a million Powerades. You guys know this. There's so many different colors. And I'm like, what flavor? And then the thought comes to my mind, blue. And I'm like, well, there's light blue and there's dark blue. You know, I'm just like being really critical of myself here. Like, well, I don't understand. But as I'm asking the questions, the dark blue or the light blue, I get this impression that it's just blue. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't think I can go wrong with either blue. So I pick the blue. Then I think, well, what she need next? And then I hear the word soup come into my mind, right? And these are just like normal things that I look back at it now and I'm like, well, of course, yeah, some electrolytes and some soup would be good for someone when they're sick. But when I honestly really didn't know, and it was this guiding experience, having words pop into my mind and just going and getting soup and Powerade. And then when I got these things and I brought them over to her, she literally said, "How did you know these were my favorite?" And I said, "The spirit." And she just started crying. She said, "I've been having such a hard day, I'm not feeling well." And it was just this really empowering experience. So I guess my point in saying all of this is that if you don't know where to start, the most important thing to do is just to go and start doing. And then the Lord is going to provide because you have a willing heart. And it may look different for you than it was for me, but for me, it was just random words coming into my mind. Here, this, that, right? And if you don't know, it doesn't really matter because anything good comes from God, right? So if it's a good Powerade, you're probably going to be fine, right? So don't stress yourself out if you don't have words coming to your mind. Just do the best you can and do something good and you're going to be okay. So anyway, I just had to share that thought. And I do believe that this ties perfectly. There's a reason these two talks are together, because President Johnson's talk, I just wanted to read the chapter heading or the chapter summary. It's not a chapter, it's a talk. I wanted to read the talk summary where it says, "We can partner with the Savior to help provide temporal and spiritual relief for those in need, and in the process, find our own relief." So in these experiences, the one with Elder Yuseta, the one with me that I just shared, we are finding relief through Jesus Christ. And we're finding that relief sometimes temporally, but we're also finding it spiritually. And I think that's important to know in ministering as well. The two go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. A funny story about our preparation for this podcast is I started with this talk first in my studies. And so my perspective of Elder Yuseta's talk was a little bit different, right? Mm. Which I have a feeling maybe you had started with Elder Yuseta's talk.
I did, yeah.
Interesting. So a lot of what I thought about this talk, this Sister Johnson or President Johnson's talk, really had to do with this idea of, you know, partnering with the Savior and, you know, really seeing us ourselves as second, right? Because yes, we can find the relief, but it shouldn't be necessarily our focus when ministering to relieve ourselves. We need to find relief for others. We need to find a way to help them and serve them. And then in the process, we find relief as well. I think there are many examples of like being lost in the work, right? Giving yourself over to the work. There's a missionary talk or a missionary. Yeah, it's a missionary talk called The Fourth Missionary, right?
Oh, it's such a good talk.
And so it's kind of like that transcendent state of when you're not worried about all these other things. And you're just able to kind of like get into a, they call it a flow state, right? So, but definitely not easy to do. And when we really look into, you know, how the Lord calls and then he qualifies who he calls, right? You do have to go through a certain amount of grief and suffering through this life in order to truly empathize with other people. And in that way, we are experiencing that that partnership with the Savior, because he says, "Good, you know a little bit of what I've suffered for you, right? And so now understand that I've taken that from you, and now go tell other people that I can take it from them."
Mm-hmm. I really like that, because I shared that today in my lesson. So I'm the gospel doctrine teacher, and we were talking about Doubting Thomas, quote unquote, Doubting Thomas. I think he gets a bad rap, but we were talking about how he has this experience, and even Peter has this experience with the Savior after he's risen, right? And he asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And he says it three times over and over, right? So there's Peter's experience, there's Thomas's experience, there's Mary Magdalene's experience. Anyway, all these experiences are meant to help us then turn around and go help someone else, right? That's why we have experiences. That's why we have gifts and talents. They're not for us. They're to serve other people. So in my lesson today, we talked so much about Thomas, but then we watched the clip from Elder Holland, "Lovest Thou Me More Than These?" And I shared that the experiences that we have are then in turn, as Elder Holland said, they're not meant to just be an experience and then be done with. They're meant to then help you turn into this disciple of Jesus Christ and go and share and preach his gospel and be his disciple, someone who loves him. And when I don't know about you, but whenever something good happens to me, I just want to go share it with the world. Like, I feel lighter, right? And when she talks about Christ being relief, that's something that everybody needs. We all need relief, right? She says Jesus Christ can lighten our load. Jesus Christ can lift our burdens. Jesus Christ provides a way for us to be relieved of the weight of sin. Jesus Christ is our relief. And so these are important. Think of the weight of sin that people don't even know that they're under and the relief that that can bring. And maybe they do know they're under that, but I think some people might not know because they're seeking and they don't know where to find it. Also lifting burdens and lightening our load. Who doesn't need that? We all do. Every person on this earth needs that. And so I love those statements that she made about our Savior and how he truly is our relief. And when he's then our relief, we turn and help to become others' relief, but only because we've felt it ourselves and can share of it, you know? It's right. Just this really cool setup that the Lord knew about human behavior, right? And said, here, this is what we're going to do. This is how I'm going to help my children, is by having my children help each other while I help them too. Just amazing. She does give some examples of scriptures and burdens being lightened. She also talks about how when we are covenant keeping people, right? When we're baptized, we promise to mourn with those that mourn and comfort those that stand in need and comfort, and talks about this covenantal relationship that we have to do this with other people. And I think that's important to remember too, is our covenants and how they help us find relief. Well, then we can help others make those covenants and do the same thing.
I wanted to share what I learned when I studied this talk about that yoke, right? That the Lord asks us to take upon ourselves. He says to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. And so that's interesting. Those two go hand in hand, right? The taking upon the yoke and yoke, for those of you who needed a refresher like I did, exactly what is a yoke? Well, it's this cross harness that you know, like two ox, right? If they're side by side hauling a wagon, well, there's something that lays across them to bind them together, and that way they're going in the same direction. And think about that, right? The Lord's asking us to take on maybe that other side of the yoke. So as President Johnson says, we've got to get in there with him. And he's going to be guiding us, right? And when we do take his yoke upon us, it's not even necessarily a question of if we're going the right way, right? Because we are being led, we're being guided. And as we're doing that, we're also learning of his character, right? The things that he would do, like what is his mission? What is his purpose in the work that he's doing? And so those are the things that I took away from a little study into that term yoke and applying it to these lessons.
I love that. Well, I don't really have any more to share besides my testimony that I know that ministering is one of the best things and best works, wholesome work, that we can be doing, especially in these latter days, to gather Israel and assist our Savior.
Amen.
Thanks, y'all, for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed Elder Juan A. Uceda's talk, The Lord Jesus Christ Teaches Us to Minister, and Jesus Christ is Relieved by President Camille N. Johnson.
If you enjoyed this episode, we ask that you go and give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you get podcasts. You can find all the links to our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
And conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, and check out the show notes, and also find the resources that we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your host.
If you do want to learn more about us, your hosts, we can be found at the Book of Mormon Podcast on Instagram, and you can find that podcast, the Book of Mormon Podcast, on Spotify, as well as many other platforms for podcasts.
And while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yes, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
Join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.